there's been a fair bit of opposition, I guess, to the government's suggestion of lowering the school starting age to 4.5 years. There is a meeting being held in Burnie next Friday at 6 o'clock at Burnie High School. The Education Minister, Jeremy Rockliffe, will be there, and the Secretary of the Education Department, Jenny Gale, as well. But what's happened since then, that's been announced, is that there's been a survey done of over 5,700 teachers in Tasmania. So it's not one of these 500 sample surveys. It's a lot of the teachers, and 77% of them, Brian, are actually in opposition to this proposal.
Yeah, and I mean, they're at the coalface every day, so they're the people that know whether this is a good idea or not. And I think it fairly and squarely confirms that from the people who work in teaching, the people that are in the profession, say that this is not a good idea. And we've been concerned for some time. I mean, the starting age, 4.5, and then obviously coming back to potentially starting kinder at 3.5 years of age. We've always thought that in childcare, for example, you've got a larger ratio of people to the actual children. You've got it in a school situation, and kids that age sort of behind the desk or even in sort of play learning situations, we don't think is appropriate. So it's I think Jeremy Rockliffe is going to have an uphill battle here selling this to the public as a whole.
I should declare an interest here. My wife works in the childcare sector, so I know a little bit about this. And at four and a half years, some of these kids aren't even toilet trained. But one of the arguments that's been thrown up by the government for doing it is because they say, well, some families can't afford childcare. This gets them out of the childcare and into the education system earlier, where their kids are effectively being childcared anyway. But that argument, to me, that doesn't make any sense. Surely there's better ways they can help parents afford childcare rather than sending them to school early.
Yeah, well, I understand where the government's coming from with respect to having children in school longer. They obviously, and, you know, we agree that we want to see young people stay in school, you know, 2 years, 11 and 12.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably at the other end.
Yeah, but, look, there is a problem with that age, and I think teachers do a lot of work. They understand, you know, the development of children when they're ready to actually take on the formal role of being educated. We believe that, you know, the supplement to that is child and family standards and, of course, the childcare industry itself, which employs a lot of people in Tasmania. But the child and family standards was an initiative of the previous Labor governments, and we've got a policy to build at least another two if we're elected. They are a fantastic opportunity for parents to engage with their children and the broader community, which effectively helps not only to educate the children themselves in, you know, through play-based learning, but it also has the opportunity for parents to network and find out ways that they can, you know, move themselves forward with respect to their own education and opportunities that might exist in the community. So we think that is the way to go. We believe that the amount of money that's being talked about to facilitate this change...
About 15 million, I think, Brian.
Yeah, but they're saying initially it was 6 million. It's a large amount. We could do a lot with that with respect to child and family centres and making sure that we provide that sort of equity across communities in need in Tasmania. So that's been our sort of Labor philosophy, if you like, and we think that we will obviously consult with the teachers and the broader community before making our final position on this. But at this stage, I think that survey is telling, you know, with respect to you know, what those people in the profession believe when it comes to this. And, you know, Jeremy's arguing that, oh, well, you know, this will make us the same as everywhere else. You know, it's not true. Other jurisdictions are looking, actually going back the other way.
Okay, that's interesting. As I said, it wasn't a sample survey. It was the Education Union actually surveyed 5,700 teachers around the state, and 77% of them weren't in favour of it. Now, the cloud seeding issue, this has popped up again, and we're still waiting on answers of this, really, aren't we, with the cloud seeding that was supposedly done the same week that the floods hit the state?
Yeah, look, it was... and the more people I talk to in the sort of catchment areas that were really badly affected by floods, the more I know that we need to have an independent inquiry into the cloud seeding issue, because when it occurred, the Premier said, look, you know, and I'll sort of go back through it again, Martin, I was in La Trobe, you know, almost straight after the floods, and talking to people, and they said, look, people heard a plane, you know, off the Western Tier, tell me they weren't cloud seeding. And I said, look, surely not. the issue was then sort of came to the fore, and you know, it was discovered then that the hydro had actually been cloud seeding, you know, off the front of the Western Tier, sort of Deloraine back,
and down south as well. Apparently, somewhere in the I think it was the Derwent Valley too.
No, well, the upper Derwent catchment is actually over the Western Tiers. That water flows down the Ouse River into the Derwent. So that's what they were talking about. But that catchment was already spilling at Augusta. All your fly fishermen and trout fishermen would know that there's a massive spillway there, and that was actually flooding. That floods down into the Ouse. If it's not being used that way, it goes down into the Lyawarney Canal and then into Great Lakes.
Right. I've got no doubt to dispute this, because I know what a keen fisherman you are yourself, Brian. So you're speaking from a position of authority here.
I am. So the issue became, what were they doing, given that it was a massive weather event occurring and coming, came right down the eastern seaboard of Australia. What are they doing cloud seeding at that moment when effectively those catchments were full? And the other thing to know about cloud seeding is that what you're trying to do is almost dump rain, you know, so you've got to have sort of flash flooding procedures in place anyway when it comes to cloud seeding. You never know how successful you're going to be. So they flew well over an hour on that cloud seeding mission, and of course the report came out and said, oh, they didn't make any difference, it didn't do any good because there was already too much ice in the clouds. Well, I don't think people, you know, quite believe that, and that's why we need an independent inquiry. The Premier came out and said he would get Matthew Groom to get Hydro to look at it. They did, so they wrote their own report. But people are not satisfied that. Now the Premier's suggested that, yes, we are considering having an independent report, but we're going to Hydro to have a look at it first.
Yeah,
their processes and procedures, and goodness knows how long that will take.
Isn't there a vested interest there as well?
Well, look, you know, I mean, I could easily turn the guns on Hydro, but I'm not going to. I think that in the decision-making, somebody's got it wrong here, that you would be cloud seeding under this situation. I've got no idea why that would happen. But there are other issues, and that confronted me when I was minister as well, Mark, you know, when it comes to cloud seeding, where it rains and where it doesn't rain as a result of cloud seeding. So I think it is time to have an independent look at it. The TFGA want to look at it. Various mayors are very concerned about it. The people on the sort of southeast coast of Tasmania believe they're not getting the rainfall as a result of the rain being, you know, artificially made fall elsewhere. And so there's a whole range of issues that need to be sorted through. And I think that this cloud seeding over that catchment that led to a massive rain event, needs to be looked at in that context, and that's brought it to a head.
All right. Finally, been another week, basically, and another call for Matt Groom to resign. So Shadow Treasurer Scott Bacon was asking for his resignation this week. So what's he done to upset you now?
Well, look, it's about the committee. You know, they got the Public Accounts Committee. They made great store of actually getting the Public Accounts Committee together, effectively to put me on trial. That was, you'll have questions to answer, Brian Green. That was what was said at the time. Now the committee's been established, that Matthew Groom and Peter Gutwin have decided they wouldn't front because of the legal wrangle that's going on between Hydro Tasmania and Basslink owners.
And that's another can of worms, isn't it?
It is, but aside from that, there are a myriad of questions that could be answered by both him, Matthew Groom, and the Treasurer. How stupid is it that you actually get a committee together yourself to bring out the truth, so to speak? You know, that's what they claimed. And then not turn up yourself.
Well, surely they could answer questions, and then if some that were sensitive to that particular issue, they could say, well, I'm not going to answer that because of that, but they've just not even turned up, as you say.
No, well, they're trying to work out these protocols of what they're allowed to be asked and what they're not allowed to be asked. It's a complete load of rubbish. The Parliament is the master of its own destiny. Ivan Dean is the chair of this committee. He's doing a very good job. He is asking questions. He's been briefed by the Solicitor General himself, but the committee continues. The mad part about this is, and this mob, honestly, you know, Matthew Groom and the Treasurer are suggesting they can't turn up because they might prejudice the Hydro's case. The very day that they said they weren't going to turn up, Hydro actually appeared. They were there for a long time.
Okay. Is it still going?
They tabled hundreds of documents. I mean, look, they made a terrible mistake. when they started to decommission the Tone Valley Power Station. They did that chasing dividends, the $75 million dividend. They may as well face up to the fact that they made a shocking blue. They agreed that our gas contracts would end to the Tone Valley Power Station, which would have a huge effect on major industrials and other businesses around Tasmania with their gas prices. And yet they didn't consult with the major industrials. The major industrials now say they've got no confidence whatsoever in the way that the government's delivering its energy strategy. So, look, it's a...
So is the committee still ongoing, Brian? Is it still sitting?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Apparently they're going to work out, you know, protocols as to what questions they can be asked or not. I think it's just a sham, really, and we'll be obviously pursuing that when Parliament comes back.
Yeah, well, let's hope they do get to speak to the committee before it adjourns, because, as you say, it's, we need to hear, and they can work out which questions they're going to ask and which ones they're not. As always, Brian, thanks for your time this afternoon. Much appreciated. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you again in a fortnight.
Thank you, mate.